Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Open your saddlebag and spill its contents onto the sidewalk.
For what purpose, Jim?
To enjoy Jules and Jim's joyride. Well, if you're all seated comfortably.
I am.
Good. Well, our guest today entered our recording van like a gentle summer breeze tenderly caressing a field of wheat.
Yes.
Like an early morning delivery of soft bread.
Yes.
Are you interested?
I am.
Intrigued?
I am. I agree with you.
Everything our
you
guest
said.
Today is the most magnificent Lolia Adefope.
Hiya.
Lolly, very nice to have you here.
I nearly called you Loddy.
It's
a mouthful.
I love that name. I'm going to call my next child Lolly, I think.
Yeah. It's a good name for a child or a pet, I think.
Yeah. Or a friend.
Or a friend, or a human being, yeah.
So this is very vaguely about transport, we chat. But before you came here...
It's getting even more vague, really, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's so tenuous, the link between any form of transport.
We were talking to guests about lorries and so forth, and now it's lollies.
Lorry Adefope, yeah.
But we were talking before that, just for you came, about what we were having for breakfast. And I was, as an example of the sort of thing that was like unacceptable to a lot of people, I said like sugars on your potato. And you said, oh, I quite like the sound
of
that.
Sounds nice, yeah.
Yeah. What would be your favorite? If we could rustle up any dish for you now, what would you like us to bring you?
I quite like a sort of bacon French toast, sweet and salty.
Ooh.
Kind of situation. I could probably eat that at any time of day.
Yes.
That's quite an American approach, isn't it? I know the Americans do tend to put sugar on everything.
Sugar and salt.
Yeah.
A lot of sugar.
But I don't like sweet and salty popcorn.
No, not
because that's just sort of dry. But when it's, you know, bacony and wet bread, that's quite nice.
Oh, lovely.
But the American breakfasts. Now, let's talk about American breakfasts, because that you do tend to get. I ordered some pickled fish in Times Square.
Well, hold on a minute. Can we just stop you there? I don't think that sounds... I don't know about you. Have you had breakfast in America, Lolly?
I think I've had brunch in America.
But I don't, you know, I'm imagining pancakes and all of that, or eggs over easy, not pickled herrings.
And what time is this as well?
It was about 9 a.m.
Wow.
But pickled herrings, yes, but I got 27. I counted them and separated them on the plate just to make sure I wasn't seeing things, but 27. And I thought, that's just too many pickled herrings, and I do like pickled herrings. In fact, when I was on a ferry going from, I think maybe Sweden to Denmark, I had the best breakfast ever, which was a lot of different types of pickled herrings.
I don't think I ever had herring.
Oh, it's quite. I'm quite fond of a herring.
I feel like
now.
I really would like it.
Yeah, I get jars of them in the supermarket. And how about, are you a traveller? Because we do vaguely talk about travel. Do you enjoy travelling?
I travel for work and not much else, but I feel like that is kind of my travelling, because I get to like reap the rewards of seeing the world and not having to organise it myself.
Are you a tourist? Say you were filming in Paris, would you go and see the sights?
If I was in Paris, yes, because I've been to Paris before, and so I'm like slightly confident that I can walk around and know a few words. But I feel like if I was in a country I'd never been, I would be a lot shyer. Or if someone else was there who could guide me around, I'd be up for it. But I don't have the impetus to like just look it up myself and
buy the guide. I mean, yeah. I used to, when I was on tour, I used to buy guidebooks for every city in advance.
That's such a good idea.
Well, yes, except that my suitcase was so heavy because it would have all these books. Nowadays, it's all on your phone.
Yeah, exactly.
You can just go to your phone and like what's of interest, sites of interest, and I'm scurrying around the museums, you know, popping up the monuments, looking at the views.
Yeah.
Do you drive?
I don't drive, but I grew up in London, so...
You don't need to.
But you know, you said you get a bit shy when you... Like, for instance, if you're in Paris, shy of not getting the language right.
Yeah, not in Paris, because I obviously did GCSE French, I got an A star, but if
so you can speak French.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because what I tend to do is I'll get into a taxi, and I'm trying to ingratiate myself and be nice to the French taxi driver, so I'll say, "La Tour Eiffel, s'il vous plaît." Or, "Le Musée d'Orsay, s'il vous plaît." And then what I find is then they'll reply to me believing that I can speak French and I can't understand a word.
Sure, yeah. Or sometimes you'll say it in French and then they'll reply in English because they think that your French is so bad.
That's right, and they're just trying to show you what a dur you are.
Yeah.
I was in a taxi with my father when I was 14, the first time I'd been abroad in Paris. And my father was trying to do the same thing, have nice chats in French because he could French. "Oh, monsieur," like I don't know what he was saying, things like "the weather's nice in Paris," or whatever it was. Mm. And we got to this little sort of cafe where we were going to have our dinner. And then the taxi driver turned to him and in English said, "I think monsieur's better off using his mouth for eating than he is for speaking."
Wow.
Blimey. And how about showbiz journey? Where did you start? When did you first realise that you thought that sort of you were acting and things like that might be something that you would be...
I think when I was a teenager, I wanted to be an actress because I watched lots of British comedy when I was younger and would do lots of impressions of the stuff that I'd watched, or just like come into school the next day and repeat all of the jokes from watching like Peep Show the night before. But didn't know like how to do it or like what route to go down. And then went to university, wanted to go to Cambridge Footlights, didn't get into Cambridge because I couldn't do that. And wanted to go to Lambda, but didn't get into Lambda. So then I was just like, I have no idea how you do this. But I went to Edinburgh and did The Fringe. And then was like, okay, I feel like this is probably a route that you can go down that doesn't take like 4 years and loads of money. Although it kind of does. But then started doing live comedy instead, which is kind of a better route, I think, because you can just churn out yourself and you don't have to wait for someone else to give you the opportunity.
That's how you started, isn't it, really? Just going to a pub,
turning up.
Being.
Turned up and turned on.
Yeah.
But then you ended up acting.
Yeah, so then I got an agent from doing live comedy. So it was a comedy agent who also did acting and then started doing auditions and then just started
becoming an
actor.
And what was the first?
The first audition, I think, was... Well, I also did an audition for a musical very early on and I did the, like, scripted reading part and then she didn't ask me to sing the song. And I was like, okay.
Oh, it's so hurtful when that happens. Yeah. We don't know. That's enough, and you haven't even got going.
Yeah,
the best
songs.
Bit is coming. No, we've seen enough. Thank you.
Yeah.
Going back, so you don't drive anywhere.
Don't drive.
You walk.
No. I walk or I get the bus.
Do you cycle? Roller skate?
No, I should though. I feel like if I could do those things, it would make my life a lot easier.
Roller skating is a good thing. If you don't see that many people on it. When I was a kid, everyone got roller skates, and there were those little like a piece of metal with some leather on them. Did you ever have them?
I saw people that had them. It just, and I admired them from afar, but realised it wasn't something I would be able to do.
Yeah, falling off.
I quite like the bus though. The bus, I feel like, sorts me out.
I would think there's a certain amount of poetic or artistic inspiration on the bus. Who do you see? Do you watch any characters that you see on the bus?
Yeah, there's always, someone shouting, arguing with the driver. The driver giving some sass back. There's so many characters on the bus. And also, like sitting on top of the bus, getting the top seat, pretending you're driving the bus. There's so like much that. You can do with
you mean
the bus.
Do you mean get sitting at the top seat at the front so you can pretend to drive? I like doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't get car sick on a bus for some reason, even though I get car sick in a normal car.
Are the bus conductors still? Or is it? It's all computerised now, isn't it?
When did you last hail a bus?
Sometimes you do get people coming on and sort of... checking that everything's okay. Maybe that is the conductor.
Somebody with, that's inspectors, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's an inspector.
Not a bus conductor with his little iron machine.
I like the trouble with buses, I think. I don't know where you stand on this, Lolly, is this, that they're old buses, and I'm not a big person for nostalgia. There's lots in the present day that's much better than it was before, but the old buses had nicer lighting. They had sort of a golden sort of light, so everybody looked, and they had a gloss cream painted ceilings, so everybody looked quite nice.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now the modern buses have this very harsh detention centre lighting.
Yeah.
And nobody looks their best.
Floor. Yeah.
Yes. Everybody
yeah.
looks. They're not designed to make people look very nice.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you met anybody interesting on the bus?
I don't think I have. There was once when I think I was maybe like 20. And me and my friends were going to, I think we were going to Fabric or like some kind of nightclub. And we were chatting to other people on the bus, not necessarily making friends, but chatting. And these people offered us a cigarette because they were smoking at the back of the bus. And I smoked a cigarette on the bus.
Was that allowed?
No.
No.
I think it's the scariest thing I've ever done.
Well, that is...
Most outrageous thing you've ever done? Yes, had a sign on the back of the bus.
But I'm so... shared with our vast audience this secret.
If the police are listening, please forgive me.
Yeah, exactly. You had to write a letter of apology.
I remember on buses, you used to get the grooves down the middle on the old buses, which are always filled with dog ends.
That was the good old days,
Yeah.
If the phone was going to ring and somebody was going to say, right, this is what we really like you to do and you're going to have to go somewhere, what would it be?
I think it would probably be in New York.
Oh, yeah. What, to have your herrings like Jim?
Yeah. 27 herrings. Yeah.
Mm. That's the name of the film.
Yeah. It's like a film noir, I think, 27 herrings. I guess like a film in New York where I play... some sort of like interesting, mysterious woman that feels like vague enough that I'd be like, yeah, I'm doing that.
Write that down and we'll send it off.
Yeah.
So, interesting, mysterious woman in New York.
It's called 27 Herrings. Make of that what you will. Except, you know, a lot of things when it's supposed to be in New York now are filmed in Manchester.
Glasgow. And Glasgow,
Apparently, I was in Helsinki not long ago, and of course it is in the Free West. But in the 1960s, because it's rather brutalist and quite grey, the skies there to look at. So in the 60s and the 70s, whenever they were filming a film that was meant to be set behind the Iron Curtain, as it was then, they used to go to Helsinki. And in the end, the people of Helsinki got sick of it, but having their town used as a sort of a portrayal of what it's like gloomy behind the Iron Curtain. Because they said, well, we're not there, and it's quite nice here, really. Mm. But yeah, so
and
I
then,
walked around.
So then the tourist industry went right down the pan after that.
Yes, exactly, yeah. But why would you want to go? Would you want to go to New York because you wanted to be in New York and film, or just because you think that would be a good backdrop for the 27 Herrings?
Both. Mm. I think the first one, though. I feel like L.A., it's just too far away.
Have you filmed there in LA?
I filmed in Oregon.
What did you do there?
Oregon was a show called Trail, in Portland.
That's where it's set, because I've seen it. It looks fantastic, that show. Yeah. See, now there's an example. See, that show, the background is as much part of it.
Yeah,
because
totally.
It's such huge hills and mountains.
Yeah,
it's like a sort of a travelogue of this unbelievable place. That's where it is, Portland, Oregon. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you do what I do, which is whenever, and maybe I'll ask this to both of you, but whenever I go anywhere, I imagine for 5 minutes I'm going to live what it would be like to live there. And I think, well, I could live in that house. I wouldn't like to live in that house.
Yeah.
And then, in fact, I imagine what my life will be.
I do that the whole time I'm there, I think.
Well, anywhere.
Yeah,
exactly. I do. Oh, I'm pleased you do that.
Yeah.
And then, do you, like me, eventually conclude it would actually be really inconvenient to live some thousands of miles from home?
Yeah.
But you go through the whole process.
Yeah, like if I had to, I guess I would live there and not there. Yeah. I do it in London, to be fair. When I'm walking around London, I'd live in that. I wouldn't live in that house. And then you see someone coming out of it and you're like, sorry, I wouldn't live in your house.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because look at the traffic.
Yeah. Oh, you're right next to the bus stop.
Well, when you see him coming out of the house, you could always break in and have see how it feels.
Break in and have a little live.
Yeah, just live there for half an hour. No, it's not as good as I thought.
Yeah.
Are you keen on London? Do you walk around London much?
Yeah, I love London. I feel like I'll never live anywhere else. Mm. I say that now and then who knows what will happen.
Where did you grow up in London?
I grew up in Sutton, which people think is not London, but it is London. It's Zone 5 London. Yeah. It's got red buses and, London Borough of Sutton.
Is that near Hampton Court?
Yeah, kind of. I went to Nonsuch High School for Girls, which is like Nonsuch Palace. So it's all kind of tied in together.
That's a great name, Nonsuch Girls School.
People think it's made up.
Nonsuch School for Girls.
Yeah.
That is a great name, yeah.
What was the boys' school called?
There wasn't a boys' school, weirdly.
They didn't have boys in Sutton. Have you ever been there?
I have, actually. Yes. I said that in quite a boastful way. Yes, I've been to Sutton. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm not as common as you think.
My friend, Neville Dickey, ran the Sutton Jazz Club. which cool. was very sort of, it was great, but it was all the elderly jazz musicians would play. Yeah, and it was a really nice night out, and you've all got fish and chips and a can of beer, and it was nice in the Sutton Town Hall or somewhere. No, where was it? It was in a, it's just a big sort of hall in Sutton.
Yeah, maybe the St. Nicholas
might have been
Centre,
yeah,
or Sutton Playhouse, maybe. Mm. There's a few of them.
When you were a kid, where did you go on holiday?
We went to Paris a few times.
Nice.
We went to Nigeria. My family Nigerian.
Whereabouts?
A place called Odogbolu in Nigeria. Yeah.
And what was that like as a holiday place? Wasn't you? And what sort of age were you?
I guess like spread out from maybe like 10 to 20. We went like every few years to Nigeria. But I mean, it wasn't, I guess for like my parents, it wasn't really a holiday. It was more like just coming home and seeing family. But I think the time I remember like was when I was like 20, and I think we hadn't been there for like 4 years maybe. So I'd kind of forgotten the culture shock that I had the last time I went. And driving in Nigeria is really mad. And I think everyone in Nigeria has kind of gotten used to it. But when you go, you're like, this is absolutely nuts, and everyone's going to die, even though they don't.
How does that manifest itself? What you, if you arrive at the airport as a taxi man on the wrong side of the road and all that?
Yeah, there's like, they have like people on motorbikes who, like taxi motorbikes as well, but it's just like the roads are bumpy and everyone just seems to know how to like weave in and out. But when you're used to like regular London traffic, it just seems insane that there's any kind of rule. And there was once when me and my dad were in the back of a car and a driver was taking us to my granddad's house, and it felt like a film. It felt like I could see a lorry coming from the left-hand side of the car straight towards us. And we were moving quite slowly. Oh. And I was just like, we're going to die. Why is no one screaming? And then we just, it was fine. And yeah, we just like zipped through.
But that's, you're right there. You identified that thing of if like suddenly something is coming towards the vehicle. You're in the back. But for some reason, you think it might be rude to say anything.
Exactly, yeah. I didn't say a word.
Like,
me and my dad looked at each other and just sort of like gave each other a little smile.
Rather be sort of like, rather be crushed by this oncoming lorry than embarrass us all by saying something.
Excuse me. Yes.
I was in Cairo once, and I think it was probably like the M1, and traffic was like maniacs driving like in and out of each other all over the place, and a fella was cutting through all the traffic quite slowly, pushing a pram.
No.
Oh my god.
Across, imagine pushing a pram across the M1. That's exactly what it was like, except it was worse because the drivers were just cutting in and out of lanes and everything.
Sure. Wow.
And you went to Paris. What did you do in Paris? What sort of age were you when you went to Paris?
I think I was about 9 the first time I went to Paris. Mm, weirdly, my strongest memory of going to Paris is that I had asthma, and up until then I'd just worn, like my parents had put me in loads of layers because they were like, she needs to keep warm. And
well, you can never have enough layers. We all know that.
Well, exactly, yeah. And so when I was like doing PE at school, I would have like long sleeved top underneath my pea kit, and I felt really embarrassed. And then like the day before we went to Paris, they found out that I had asthma, and I just got an inhaler. I didn't have to wear long sleeve tops anymore. So I just remember like running around Paris in like t-shirts and vest tops and being like, this is the most incredible city in the world.
How lovely. And did your parents speak French? Did you speak, did you have a little girl speak
French? I think my parents spoke a bit of French. My brother was doing French at school, so I think he was quite good at French. I then did French at school, but I think at the time when I was there, I probably knew, like, bonjour and the rest of it.
And did you imagine living there?
Yeah, I went again, actually, maybe 5 years ago, and I went to a music festival, and I was like, wow, this, I could definitely live here. I think, like, when you go again, when you're an adult, and you do the things that actually you want to do that aren't just, like, touristy things necessarily, like going and seeing music and, like, having a life, the life that you would have if you were there.
Yes, if you lived there. Mm. Imelda May came on this podcast, and she told us that her dad took her and all her sort of vast family in his old Rover to Paris, and they'd never been there. And they got, they arrived in Paris, and they used to camp over, and so they saw that there was a big sort of green underneath the Eiffel Tower. So they just, he just got the tent out and camped there, and they were woken up by sort of the gendarmes at whenever it was, sort of 7 o'clock in the morning, and sort of oiked off. You know, can't just camp here and do that. Where did you stay when you were in Paris?
When I went for the music festival, I stayed in this like quite horrible business hotel because it was near the festival.
Where do you stay? The Georges Saint?
No, I once stayed at the Plaza Athénée, or when it had just been refurbished.
Yeah.
And I was one of the only, and I was like a guinea pig, and I think you got it cheap because, which is one of the grandest hotels, because they just done it, and they're just making sure it's sort of
it's full.
Soft opening, you know. So I think, well, just to check, you know. But it was so grand that I went with my daughter, who was about 12 at the time, and we went to have cakes. We went to Euro Disney, and mm-hmm. I was quite relieved to get to the Plaza Athénée. And then we went and had cakes, and there were literally three uniformed people, like with like full footman's outfits and a white, and another one with a white jacket and a bow tie. And one pushes the cake trolley, another one opens a cake trolley, wow. Another one gets the prongs, and they sort of offered my daughter which one she wanted. I think she was a bit young, maybe she was 10 or something. Anyway, she reaches out to grab hold of the cake. A white gloved hand just grabs hold of her wrist, holds it steady like this, and then another hand comes in with some tongs and puts the cake on the plate and then pushes that into her hand on the plate and then takes her wrist and places it back on her lap with the plate. And I thought, wow, this is, if only we had this at home. This is how the French certainly know how to live.
Well, I was at the Bristol once. You know the Bristol in Paris?
Oh, yes, I stayed there once. Yes,
very nice. Well, and I was in the lobby, and there was a kerfuffle. That's all I can call it. A kerfuffle was happening outside. A car had pulled up, and there was a lot of screaming. And I looked out, and it was the Spice Girls who'd got out of a car and realised there was no one there. And I think their manager had tried to muster up some people there to scream at them as they got out of the car. And there was no one there. So I was being a what they call a nosy sod. Went out to have a look, and I saw them. So they all got out and went, screaming like Spice Girls do. Realised there was no one there, and then Jerry Halliwell said, look, let's get back in the car and get on the phone, ring the manager, and get this sorted out. And so she said, drive round the block again. And they'd managed to get about 10 people to come and scream at them within that 10 minutes of them going round the block again. So they got on and go, scream. So the 10 people satisfied them, and they went in screaming and pointing at things.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Do you do music, Lolly? Are you a musicist? Are you a...
I feel like I'm secretly, I want to be a musician. I pretend I want to be an actress and a comedian. But so I try and slip in a song into my Edinburgh shows just as a way of trying to be like, no, I am also musically talented as well.
I could see you as a flautist.
Yeah, I could see myself as a flautist as well, actually, yeah. I'd love to play the harp. I think that'd be like...
That'd be nice. Wouldn't we all?
Yeah.
And I think it's got such a lot. You just play the harp and the atmosphere changes in the room.
Incredible.
But I tell you, the only person, the Solomon Burke, the King of Soul, who was my dear friend, and he's sadly no longer with us, he was the only person I knew that always had a harpist with him.
Wow.
He always insisted on having
Wherever he went.
Yes,
to accompany his travels.
Yeah, to accompany his thoughts, his moods, his sandwiches, whatever. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and in between singing, you know, dum 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 dum, when your baby leaves you all alone, and he'd have a harpist there. Just
Was that a harp on all the records?
No, it came later. He just added it in. Yeah,
I think it's a great thing. You don't see too many harpists. Are there a lot in Wales, I suspect?
Well, that's
or is that just a massive generalisation?
Yes, I think it's a bit of a generalisation.
But a nice one, though.
Yeah, and I think that's a different thing, isn't it? That's the folk harp as opposed to the sort of I was imagining you, Lolly, if you don't mind me projecting this onto you, with a full size golden angelic,
yeah,
angelic, great big sort of totally. You know, sort of symphony orchestra.
Do you know a harpist?
I've got a few, yeah, up my sleeve, yeah, exactly. I'm not here to name names, but yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's a thing that people are really going for. If you go to music school, do people say the harp's probably quite low down on the list of what people want to do?
Yeah, and I guess also access to a harp is what
I suppose that's another. You can't take that on the train too easily, can you?
Yeah,
Double bass is about max.
Yeah, exactly.
But a harp...
access to a harp, that's what we've got to fight for in schools.
Yeah.
And there'd be more angelic children then, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
Mini harp, I suppose, you know, like...
but we should design a mini harp.
I think they... Well, you see them in statues, don't you? Ones
I wonder if we practice on those.
Or is that a liar?
Who, me?
Yes. Yes, very good. The other thing is, there's a lot of people who come on the show. They work in the world of the arts, in either poetry or music or acting or comedy or whatever the world they work in. But they've often got a hobby that isn't perhaps known to the outer world, which is unrelated to the thing that they do. Do you have a nice hobby that you do quietly at home?
I quite like painting.
Oh, really? What sort of painting do you do?
I'm not a very good painter, but I like choosing colours and matching colours together. So I did a painting for my friend. My friend did an exhibition for, I think it was for Calm, maybe. And I did like a drawing that was kind of a self-portrait, but kind of abstract and a bit, I want to say Van Gogh-y, but obviously not as good. And
Probably better.
Probably better, yeah. Mm-hmm. And just like made it all multicoloured and lots of different colours.
And you do that a lot?
I did it a bit in lockdown. I haven't really done it since, now that life's...
You didn't go to art school or anything?
No. I wanted to. I did art GCSE and got an A star.
Were you good there doing that?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it then. And then I think I just thought, well, I obviously can't do that for my career.
Can you remember what you did for your GCSE art?
Yeah, I painted a picture of an electric guitar.
Oh, nice.
Did you?
Did it belong to anybody in particular in your imagining?
Knowing me, it was probably from Google Images. Probably. But I think I remember thinking that it was a really amazing idea.
That would be a great name for a band, Google Images.
Google Images,
you'd look them up and you'd sort of, wow.
What did you do?
I tell you what I did. I did two things. One of the things I did in art was I made, with my friend, we made a giant packet of number 6 cigarettes.
Wow.
We thought
that's cool.
Explode something, it would be quite big. So it was this, but it was all, the charm of it was no computer graphics. We sort of painted it.
Mm.
And it looked all a bit sort of cheesy.
So was it a model?
It was a big model. It was probably 2 foot by 3 foot, maybe. Or that's how I imagine it, but I was a bit smaller then, but not that. Anyway, but it was a big, like a giant packet of cigarettes. We were going to try and make it so the top flipped open, you could have giant cigarettes, but it didn't. I can't quite remember. And then we made a tin of Tizer to go with it, I think, or a tin of something big to go with it, which we made out of a waste paper basket. And we were really pleased with ourselves.
Yeah.
We didn't really... But I don't think anybody wanted it, really.
I wonder, someone, it might be there somewhere now.
What happens to all the art?
Well, I don't know.
What happened to your electric guitar?
Yeah.
Have you got it?
I don't have it, no.
Someone's got it.
Someone collector.
I made a model of a Saxon king out of clay, and it was so awful. I spent a long time on it. It was just getting worse and worse. So I pummeled it. I beat it to a pulp with a stick. And it
as an art performance.
No, I just thought I was disgusted with it.
Yeah.
I thought I can't present this, you know, as something that I consider good. So I beat it up, and it turned into something magnificent but very abstract.
How lovely! I should say, actually, the art teacher said I was talking too much to the person next to me when we were then supposed to be painting something, and he came around and he hit me over the head with a piece of wood and said, "More art, less talk."
Mm.
I thought that's an interesting
thought.
That was
a tough one. Yeah. We had a very laid-back art teacher who was let us bring records in.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's the key, I think.
And he was very free and easy with his comments as well. He said, I painted this Disney scene at home in my flat the other night. He was quite young. And he said, because I had a dream that these Disney characters were flying in through my window and like hovering above me on my bed.
Oh.
Years later, I thought, there's probably some drugs involved. At the time,
but when you're 11,
I thought it was just a magnificent dream.
And here's a message from our sponsors. Hello, madam. I very much like the look of these shoes. What size are they?
Well, one's a 7 and one's a 9.
Perfect. I'll take them.
Looking for a new pair of shoes? Come to The Taming of the Shoe in Stratford.
The Taming of the Shoe in Stratford. Shoesy and the Banksheys in Bromley.
Or Fu Man Shoes in Shanghai.
Are you a taxi or an Uber person or a minicab person?
I try not to use Uber too much. I'm kind of an Addison Lee person at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
I quite like an Addison Lee. It feels just kind of solid. And
Do you, which somebody told me they knew someone did this, when they had this habit of whenever they got in a taxi, they'd say, oh, my dad's a taxi driver, and he does that. And where do you live? Oh, my dad used to. And they sort of have this thing, they pretend their dad was... had some sort of, and they thought that they were them getting, you know, more closer to
a cheap ride.
No, they just, I don't know, had some connection which they wouldn't have had.
Yeah.
Do you do anything like that? Engage them in conversations?
I get engaged in conversation, but I think I'd be too nervous to say something like my dad was a taxi driver, because then I feel like they'd ask a question about
get found
taxis.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm in America, people say, "What do you do?" And I try not to say I'm an actress, because then they're obviously like. Yeah. People who ask lots of questions.
So what do you say instead?
Yeah, I haven't nailed it. Sometimes I say I'm just visiting a friend, or I say I'm a journalist. But then I feel like journalist is still a bit interesting.
Yeah, so, or you could say, look, I'm not allowed to discuss my work. Because
yeah,
then
good.
It's like, what is she like?
Yeah,
but
I think they'll definitely
MI6.
Keep asking. Yeah.
I think
yeah.
It's a good idea to do that. I might say I'm a campanologist.
What is that then?
A bell ringer.
Oh, is it?
Ooh, yeah. That's nice.
You know, pick something...
But then they'll say, oh, so what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Where
about?
Exactly.
What do you think I'm doing?
Yeah, there aren't any bells here. What
bells?
Are you doing?
We closed the bell 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Yeah.
Oh, you got me.
Yeah, you're bluffing. You're not. You're just... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you could spin a ridiculous yarn. Like, say... yeah, I'm a singer. Here's my a bit of my music, and then give him something which is clearly, I don't know, Aretha Franklin.
Yeah,
yeah. Maria Callas or something. Really, yeah. That's not me at all. Yeah.
No, that actually is me.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they'd shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good way of getting rid of people. That. With your acting, which is, I mean, I wouldn't say, what's the word, omnipresent? No.
Mm.
But it's great. I keep seeing you, which
oh,
is great.
Thank you.
Which is great. And it always makes me very happy.
Thank you so
and
much.
And I think, which is what I think, it's like, if there's an actor and you like what they do, it doesn't matter so much what they're in, it's just you like them. So that's why you watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the best thing you've ever been in?
Acting.
Yeah.
Probably this time with Alan Partridge.
Not the new one, the old one.
The new one, yeah.
The new
yeah,
one. Are we in the new one? I've seen one of them.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Yeah, I think that's my greatest achievement.
But and it's really because you sort of make him squirm, but it's just so charming because he never wins.
Yeah,
he's always
exactly.
got it wrong.
Yeah.
And you're very, what's the word for it? Understated.
Thank you.
It's very good. It's very, very, very funny that. Very charming.
Mm, it's a lot of fun.
Did you hear that? That's a rain beating a pot.
Whoa!
Beating.
It's a very comforting sound, isn't it?
Yeah. It is a nice sound, yeah.
I don't know if you'll
when you're
hear
indoors.
It.
It's. I wonder if it's a. It's. Well, it is a lovely sound on the tin roof here. It was. How lovely!
It
how
is,
calming,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice,
yeah. Whoa! Lovely rain. Have you got any plans for any other particular new series that we should be keeping our eyes open for?
I've hopefully got a podcast coming soon.
Oh, on the lines of our one, where we just pontificate about nothing we know about at all and just make it up as we go along, but have amazing guests who sort of make up for it.
No, I wouldn't want to steal your thunder or steal your idea. But I piloted a podcast which is like a fictional podcast where I play myself, but it's called Fan Mail, and I'm reading out messages in inverted commas from fans and listening to voicemails from my fans. So it's just like me being very arrogant.
Do that on your own.
Yeah, and then I have comedians playing fans and like sending in messages and me reading out letters from fans. So the idea is me being like, oh, I really want to give back to the people who got me to where I am today. But all of the fans are just weird.
Weird
people. Yeah.
I think you should do that. I look forward to hearing that.
Yeah.
We would like that very much.
Mm.
Well, it's been a great pleasure having you on. Thank you. It's raining outside, so you will be issued with a paper bag or a plastic bag to put over your head as you stroll home.
Thank you so
much. And the top is, I can see that on our motorcycle and sidecar, which we had you collected in, the canvas top is being lifted up and put up. Yeah,
either that or you can go downstairs and see the purser and get your bus fare.
Yes. Thank you, Lolly Adefope.
Thank you.
Well, there goes Lolly in a motorcycle and sidecar.
Yes.
Being interesting, the motorcycle is being ridden by Kurt Russell.
Nobody would have thought that, would they?
I didn't even think that till it came out of my mouth.
This podcast was produced and edited by Molly Stewart.
Sound engineers were James Stewart and George Latham.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.